I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. With your hosts, Joe Bond and AJ Appleton.
Touchdown! All right, welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, AJ Appelgarth. What's up, man? Nice gear.
Yeah, just you know.
I wonder why we're wearing this.
Just threw on the old jersey. Seeing what's going on.
Smashed the ball game.
Oh yeah,
that was phenomenal. There was like 10 turnovers in that game. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I did not catch the first half. Picked it up in the third though while I was working and was pretty excited. I was score checking a little bit for the first half and I was like, I just gotta turn this on. So was able to have it kind of in the periphery.
That was a good game, man. Glad to see Tech back in the bowls. Glad to see them on the winning side of the bowls.
Yeah,
something, you know, we used to get there a lot, but I feel like we wouldn't win a lot of them. It was weird.
Yeah.
But glad to see that this the program on the uptick, it feels like. I don't think we're ever going to get back to being able to compete for national championships, unfortunately. It's just college football landscape has changed drastically and just, in my opinion, been skewed heavily. Oh, nice.
Coach Pry bobblehead that I got a year or so ago. It's like, oh yeah, forgot about this thing.
Good stuff. Yeah, but like I was saying, I don't think teams like Virginia Tech, you're going to see teams like them very often compete for national championships with the NILs and things like that now. Like, it's so weighted in the favor of these massive schools. And so it's going to take a long time for somebody else to catch up to those programs and be able to compete and pay the money. I was looking it up the other day. I was just curious, like the 2024, like recruiting, the average NIL for like Virginia Tech is like, you know, $18,000 a kid, maybe 30. I forget. The average for like Ohio State is like 170,000. There's some kid going to Ohio State getting 700K.
Must
like
be nice.
It's just ridiculous. Like, and that's these kids that have come in. They've never played it down to college football. You know, we're already hearing these like NIL deals for these, you know, for guys like Harrison, you know, possibly sticking around, getting just tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah,
to offered to him to stay. I mean, that's just ridiculous. So I hope the NCAA does something about it. I know we talked about it on the show before. I really hope they do. And, you know, they can figure out a way to like kind of clamp down on it a little bit and kind of even the playing field for some of these schools. But I just don't think they can. I don't think they can. I literally don't think there's that almost anything they can do about it. But anyway, man, we got a good show tonight. I know we're doing it early on Wednesday, so thank you for everybody who's tuning in already. we got a good show for you to get you ready for your fantasy football championships. And first we jump in, though. Before we jump in, though, just want to remind everybody, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, thumbs up, whatever you're watching, wherever you're listening, leave those reviews. We appreciate it. And, you know, we love hearing from you. And, yeah, of course, you know, we've got our all Corona, our all access, I have not been drinking, I swear, our all access memberships over Fantasy Six Pack. You can still jump in there if you want for football. I get it. The season's over, but we're going to have DFS, you know, this week, next week, through the playoffs to help you. Like, look, it will pay for itself. I promise you. Like, Dave Eddy, Chris Robin, Keith Fleming, those guys over there, you know, giving the DFS advice over here on Fantasy Six Pack and within our Discord, they have profited probably, what, 12, 13 of the week so far on the season. That is a massive, at least, yeah, positive, you know, bankroll there. So, you can win the membership money back and then some, trust me. And then we're going to have baseball coming soon. January, I'll be pumping out a bunch of articles myself and, you know, get the rest of the crew jumping in here. So without further ado, though, let's bring in our guest here. And it is Mr. Jeff Bell from the Football Guys. What is up, man? How's it going? Thanks for joining.
Hey guys, how are you? I'm doing great. You know, we're in that week between Christmas and New Year's and Fantasy Championship Week, and we're finally here. And I think that a lot of us, the grind, we're kind of ground down to the point that we're kind of ready for it. But at the same time, it is gone in a flash. It does feel like.
Soon. I feel the end is near, and I'm welcoming it. I think I was listening to Jeff Ratcliffe on Sirius XM. It was this morning, and he was like, yeah, I have a little bit of senioritis. Like, it, you know, this used to be the week. This was like, we were done. This didn't matter. Week 7 didn't matter for rankings. Like, nobody plays, right? And so I feel it, man. I'm drained. It's been a long season. I'm ready just to, like, you know, I kind of just want to enjoy this last week of the year, but we, you know, I enjoy talking about this, but it would have been nice to have like the break instead, but that'll come next week. And we'll take January off. So I'm sure you're looking forward to it too, Jeff, but,
It's one of those that I vividly remember when we were going to the 18-week schedule, the 17 games. I was on Twitter like, are we sure we want to add an extra week to the fantasy season? Like, or like, why don't we still be done in week 16 and just maybe enjoy 2 weeks at the end instead of just one? But it is, you know, I got done.
I've thought about it.
Morning with my. Yeah, exactly. But I got done with my final cut of rankings, or my first cut of rankings for the final week. And so that one of those things that you move through the week and you've got your checkpoints throughout the week. And then the final week you're doing them, you're kind of like, oh man, this is the last week we're doing this until next September.
Yeah. It's interesting. You bring up a good point, and you know, we're seeing things happen already this week, and we'll get into it with the news where, look, injuries have piled up like crazy. There's kind of nothing you can do about that. But with the extra week, right, maybe we wouldn't have to deal with some of these guys missing the games in week 17 if you ended early, right? And then we're getting players benched early this year. And, you know, when it was, you know, said that the season was going to get extended by weeks, everybody's like, oh, cool. Okay. Now we're going to play 17 week fantasy seasons. It was like, what? Like, are we sure there aren't going to be teams that are just going to be like, we're already out of it, so we're not going to put our starters in? You know, it's kind of like for baseball, right? And for fantasy basketball, I always lean to ending a week or so early with those types of leagues, because same thing in baseball, right? You get that last week or so of the season where teams that are either they've already clinched, they have nothing to play for, they're getting their rotation set up for the playoffs. So, you know, if it's the Yankees, right, Garrett Cole may not pitch that last Thursday before the playoffs start next Monday, you know, and you're losing like arguably one of the best pitchers in baseball from your roster that last week, to where if you just ended a week early, he still has something to play for. He was pitching. Same thing in basketball. It happens all the time, right? Teams tanking, they're benching their stars, and they're playing these like young guys. And to me, it's like, do we want to deal with that? So I'm going to have a conversation. I've already thought about it, and I'm glad you brought it up, like to get into, like, let's end on week 16. Like, let's just not even worry about it anymore. Cause I'm telling you, there, And like I said, we're going to get into this news here. And guys, I know you're, we got some questions. We'll get to those in a second. I want to get through the news first, and then we'll hop on these questions, I promise. But we talked about the benching, so let's just jump right into it. So we'll start with the first one. Sam Howell has had two abysmal weeks in a row, been benched in the middle of the game both times, seeing Jacoby Brissett come in and perform fairly well. So now we're going into week 17. Sam Howell, who was, you know, everybody's kind of like, man, he's the next up and coming quarterback. Like, he was the guy, like, oh man, he's the real deal. Like, the Commanders really nailed this pick. And this has gone south very quickly. I was one who was all in on him, not all in on him before the season, but like, it started, I was a little bit higher on him than some. I kind of thought he was better than people were letting him, you know, talking him up to be. But then as the season went on, people started to jump on the train, and then it kind of got out of hand, in my opinion. It was kind of like, all right, he's not this good, but okay, like, sure. Well, you know, what's your thoughts with this offense though, with Brissett there? Like, is this a good thing? Now they're playing San Fran, so that's always a pretty risky matchup there, but you know, what's your thoughts here?
I think that Brissett gives them a better chance to win, which in the big picture probably isn't a good thing for the Commanders, because you want to lose these last two games to, I mean, being realistic about the draft standing. And I think that Howell has just gotten beat up. And I do think that that's a big part of it, that it takes a lot for somebody to be able to stand in there game after game, especially the way that he's been knocked around, and especially a young player like that in his first real experience doing that. That being said, you know, you've got Caleb Williams, you've got Drake May coming up in this draft. And so if the Commanders are sitting there in a position to add one of those guys, or maybe a small jump up to add one of those guys, I think that that's the direction that they need to explore, and they need to go that way. I was happy for Sam Howell, and he was entertaining, and he was putting up especially fantasy production. But being that fifth round quarterback, it's just you really have to knock it out of the park to not move in a different direction, especially when you end up with a record up here. That being said, I've got Brissett. There's like Brissett, Gardner Minshew. There's like these handful of quarterbacks that are in between being actual starters and being just kind of, you know, bad backups. And I always joke that these guys should sit in a pool. And so whenever a starter goes down, you can pull one out of the pool instead of having like everybody having their own backup. But no, I think Brissett is he's a professional quarterback, and I think that he will be able to run the offense well. Tough matchup against San Francisco, certainly coming off that loss last week. That being said, I do think he gives them a better shot to win the game.
Yeah, how for me is, it is a shame to see this happen, because he was balling out, you know, aside from that Buffalo game in week 3. I mean, he was putting up massive numbers to start the season. And then, you know, again, fell off in week 7 against the Giants. I mean, his crowning achievement for me was week 10, because I had Hurts on the bye and Fishbowl, and I somehow managed to score the 11th highest points, clinching my 13 wins to get to the playoffs. That's long since passed at this point, but that was a great week for Howell and for me. You know, I agree that Brissett he's a professional quarterback. He's been in this league a while. He's had good success, you know, in a bunch of different schemes and on a bunch of different teams. You know, it's just interesting to see the change in the fact that I think it was 2 weeks ago against the Rams when he came in. Oh, well, we're going to preserve Howell. He's still our starter. We just need to preserve him for next week, because this game's out of hand. And then you go in against the Jets and he gets throttled again. So, you know, I'm glad they're not hiding it. You know, Rivera, I don't know if you can really say he's coaching for his job anymore at this point. I think that's a foregone conclusion that he will be outed at the end of the year. So I think it is wiser for Washington to try to, you know, tank for a better pick if that's the way they want to go, or at least see what you have with Brissett. And if the new regime wants to at least keep him around as, you know, a mentor or whatnot, we'll see. That's a big shot.
I don't know. Like, I'm a Commanders fan. like I said, I was a little bit more optimistic about Sam Howell than a lot of people, especially even the day of the pick. I remember, you know, AJ, I was talking to Jason, our good friend Jason.
Yeah.
And he was just like, "What the hell? Sam Howell's terrible." And I was like, He's not as bad as a fifth round pick. Let's be real. Like, yeah, he should have never fallen that far. I mean, he was coming into that season as a Heisman Trophy candidate, and it just, North Carolina just wasn't good. He was still good. Like, it, so it shocked me that he fell. It was a little bit because of Malik Willis and how far he fell, and nobody was trying to take a quarterback before Malik Willis went third. And then all of a sudden, all the rest of the dominoes fell. And so it just kind of, you know, that's what happened. So speaking, I kind of thought,
benched quarterbacks.
I mean, the Commanders, you know, they got a bit of a gift in the fifth round. I still think he can be a solid quarterback in this league. This team just sort of fell apart. Like, and there's kind of, and yeah, it's been a long season. He's been just beaten up. I do think, though, like, from a fantasy perspective, this is really good for the guys like Terry McLaurin, right? Even Jahan Dotson, right? Like, we're going to see a better offense. Now, of course, the 49ers is a terrible matchup, right? So you're not expecting, you know, fireworks here, but you're probably going to get better from Terry McLaurin than you would have gotten with Howell there. And so take it with a grain of salt, but as far as like the NFL standpoint goes, and like just being a fan and for the future, I hope they lose. And I kind of still think they will lose, especially against the 49ers. But I forget who they play in week 18. But I'm hoping they lose that one too. And then, yeah, I don't know what they'll do in the draft, because they'll probably have a top four pick at that point. And, you know, Drake May might be there. That'll be interesting. Two North Carolina quarterbacks. That would be very interesting. Hey, man. Hey, I remember you. So yeah, that'll be interesting. So, you know, AJ, I put these notes in and I completely didn't even realize that at the time. So I missed Razz Bowl finals by one spot. It legit would not have mattered. I have no chance. It wouldn't have mattered anyway. Both my quarterbacks going into week 17 were Sam Howell and Russell Wilson, who just got benched for signing a contract that they don't want to own up to anymore, apparently, is what this has come down to. So they're trying to find a way to get out of it. And I guess there's something in it to where, like, I don't know. I don't even understand it completely. I read something, and maybe Jeff, you know better than me. I don't know. It's, do you, like, if he doesn't pass the physical or something, so I guess they're worried he might get hurt. And then if he doesn't pass the physical, he, like, the 37 or 70, whatever it is, million guaranteed is, like, there. So they're just putting him on the bench to keep him healthy. Is that kind of what it is, from what I understand?
Yeah, they're concerned if he did get hurt at the end of the year, that his money would, I don't know if automatically vest is the right way to say it, but yeah, they would be on the hook for his full contract. There was another, so early on today, they announced the benching and moving to Jarrett Stidham, and then I saw, I think it was Josiah Anderson or somebody else came out and said they're going to release him.
He's gone.
The new year, league year in March, that they've already made that decision. There was another backstory on it that I saw, that they came to him after the Kansas City game. And I think they asked him to restructure his contract, and he would basically laughed at them. And I think that kind of was out there. I don't exactly know what happened, but I did see a little bit of a note on that too.
We have it. I think, Mike, you're the one who's been tweeting about it all day, but it was something about, or maybe you didn't put this one. I saw that. And it's something about they asked him to, like, defer it or something. Like, defer the money.
The Dodgers?
Yeah, right. it's nuts, man. So, look, we could go on about this. But I guess from a fantasy standpoint, that's what we're here for. You know, some people got there with Russ Wilson. So, you know, hopefully somebody like a Nick Mullins is still sitting out there on your waivers. I don't think you really want to go get Jarrett Stidham, but I don't know. Maybe you have to pray for Jacoby Brissett, you know, just slinging it around and getting some points. I don't know. It's not going to be pretty if you were relying on Russ Wilson. I mean, I I almost made the finals in two leagues with Russ and just barely missed in both. So I would have been in that scenario. But with Jarrett Stidham there, like, any hope for this offense to really do much of anything? They do get the Chargers, so it is pretty nice matchup. The Chargers have been just – there's games where that defense is on, and there's games where that defense is like, nah, I don't really feel like playing today, it feels like.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts here with, you know, Javonte Williams and Cortland Sutton if he's healthy, Jerry Jeudy, Marvin Mims, those guys with Stidham under center?
They definitely, against Buffalo last week, they played different. They had – a lot more of the too high and a lot sitting back and allowing things to kind of happen in front of them. Whereas I think with Brandon Staley, they were a bit more aggressive in that kind of a cover three cloud they like to play. And that allowed players to allow big plays. They kind of eliminated that against Buffalo. If you take out the big plays against Denver, and they've been pretty solid against the run this year. So Javonte Williams, we've seen him score a couple touchdowns, but at the same time, like, the efficiency hasn't been there at all when given opportunity. And so I do kind of expect this to be an uglier game. And every time I say that every week, it ends up being a 31-28 game. But I don't know. You look for better options, I would say, right now versus the Denver offense. I mean, Sutton, yeah, and I guess Javonte were the only two pieces I really felt good about. Russell Wilson, if you were in a super flex, yes. But I mean, with Sutton holding that concussion and kind of being that questionable tag, it's going to be a rough go. But if you have Javonte, you're probably going to play him absent clear better options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling great about this offense, but we'll see.
Surprising to me because their comments are like, we're not happy with the offense. I mean, Russ threw a touchdown in every game, at least one. You know, he's rushed for three of them. Right now he's the ninth position rank for quarterback. At least on ESPN, what I'm looking at. He may be different in other leagues, but that's pretty damn good for fantasy. And, you know, you would think it's pretty good for the NFL, but I get it. Denver's just had a disappointing season, so it's a weird turn of events. Yeah, I would agree. I'd be definitely, you know, looking at any other option other than Stidham right now. I just don't think that this offense is really going to get, you know, all of a sudden get going and get fired up. This isn't like a, hey, we need to really ramp up the troops this week. We're going to bench Russ and bring in Stidham. Let's go.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Like, I mean, he's had some games and he's put up some points for fantasy. It just, the offense really hasn't gotten firing on all cylinders as we were hoping. And it, like, I don't think we really need to talk about this one, but, you know, another quarterback getting benched. DeVito gets benched for Tyrod again. We're back to Tyrod. So just a disaster here. The quarterback situation this year has been crazy. Saw some tweet. I don't remember who put it out, but like, they put out a tweet of all the quarterbacks who have started one game this season. It is the longest list I've ever seen for that ever. It's crazy. So before we jump into our start sit questions to kind of preview our rankings, though, we've got a bunch of questions here, so I want to make sure we get to those. And we will start with Chad here. So let me blow up my screen here so I can actually read this stuff. Hey guys, got a mess at quarterback in industry league, dropped T-Law and Goff, added Russ. Yeah, added Carr, Bryce, Zappy, also have access to Rudolph, Stidham, Tyrod. I'm kind of confused.
Sounds like he dropped T-Law and Goff, and he added Russ, added Carr and Bryce and Zappy, but he also has access to Rudolph, Stidham, Tyrod, Mullins, and Heinicke. I'm guessing half PPR.
I mean, Mullins would be my pick out of those options. By a lot.
Carr, I think, would be the two that I would look at.
Those would be the two I would target. Yeah, Carr. Yeah, Carr's been out of his mind right now. So
Lawrence may not even play. I get Goff doesn't have a great matchup, but also, like, I mean, that could be a shootout type game. I'd be interested.
Goff's going to be my highest ranked out of the group.
I
get down to my rankings, and I know that Dallas defense is scary, but I think the total is like 53.5 or something like that, and the next highest total on the slate is like 46. So that I do expect a little bit of a shootout on Saturday night there.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Mullins higher right now, but I mean, Goff is good too. So it would be pretty close for me between Goff and Mullins. I don't know if you're going to be able to pick Goff back up at this point. Yeah. That's an interesting one there. Let's see what else we got here. Deion, good job, man. You're in three championships. Good, congrats, man. Next, Connor, Ridley or Warren, full PPR. Does it change with T-Law sitting / playing? It does.
I don't know.
I think I still just go Ridley. Like, I don't really like Warren.
I don't either.
I would agree with that. I think that Warren's got a pretty, you know, you're in your championship, and so shoot for the ceiling. And I think that Ridley has a much higher ceiling than Jalen Warren, to be realistic. I know Carolina's had a pretty tough pass defense, and J.C. Horn being back there, it's a tougher matchup for Calvin Ridley than I think that you would really like. But I would think that there would be a higher ceiling with Ridley than Jalen Warren.
Yeah, Warren is, I mean, he's shown a couple flashes here and there. I think, you know, like Twitter, right, really wants him to be a thing.
Yeah.
And I just keep looking at the usage every week, and I'm like, he's not taking over like Twitter is telling me. Yeah. it's if you read Twitter, you think Jalen Warren is like the guy in Pittsburgh. Go look at the usage. It has not been that way. So careful.
Yeah. I mean, his usage is in PPR. That's really it.
But not even really. Like, it's not as bad. It's, it's not as drastic as you think.
We just have like these defaults, and you know, it was always Zeke and Pollard, but you've got the bruiser back that, and if you follow football, you know, the guy that is carrying it between the tackles is going to take a beating, and he's trying to move the ball forward. And then the change of pace back comes in and looks like he shot out of a cannon. Yeah. And so when it's you're like condensing that and looking at the highlights, you're like, well, Najee is terrible. Look at this. He can't even move. And then, Warren had this shot there, whatnot.
He's getting the ball in space.
This is how football works, man.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at it over like the course of the season, like you see target percentage for Najee, it's 7%. For Jalen Warren, it's 15%. So yeah, cool, like double. But that's like two targets a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that much. So. And he might not even be catching all two of those targets every game. And some of those games, literally, Najee has out-targeted him. So, Warren. So, it doesn't even matter. It's just weird. Like, it is what it is. You know, give me the guy that's getting double the amount of carries. You know, he's touching the ball twice as many times as Jalen Warren. That's who I want. So, pick one here. This is Malcolm Merriweather. Kraft, Otten, Conklin, Everett, Henry, Okonkwo need one tight end. Man, if Henry plays, how do you not go for that in a championship? None of those guys excite me, honestly. If Henry doesn't play, I think I go Kraft.
I have Okonkwo just in front of Kraft, and it's really just because of what we saw last week with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. He had the six targets, 60-plus yards, and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I think with Tannehill at quarterback, we might be dealing with a little bit of a different offense than with Will Levis, and that's why I default to Okonkwo.
Yeah, I've got Everett, Okonkwo, and Kraft kind of all smashed together in my rankings. It's weird. Yeah. Like Everett actually might be the safest one because he's seeing a high volume share. That offense just without Keenan Allen, you know, so if Allen doesn't play, Everett's going to see 6, 7, 8 targets, it seems like. So that might be the safest. Okonkwo probably has a little bit better touchdown upside. But I don't know. I think if Henry actually plays, like him and Zappe, man, they've been connecting. So I would go there. Right now I've got Henry way down because I don't really think he's gonna play, but
yeah.
And then I don't know if this is the last one. I know we got bombarded here at the beginning here. Yeah. Browning at Kansas City or Flacco at the Jets.
Ooh.
Both pretty
I'm riding the Flacco.
I know
I'm Flacco with kind
of thinking the same thing.
Revenge game, you know, of sorts, I guess.
kind of.
If you can call it that. Yeah, I do have Flacco ranked above Browning. You wish it was any other match. I mean, the revenge game angle is fun, but the Commanders were able to move the ball against the Jets last week, so that is the one thing you lay in.
Yeah, and I mean, Flacco's just slinging it right now, so yeah, I'd ride the Flacco train here. And Browning's been okay, but Kansas City's defense has been stingy good. Like,
yeah.
So, all right, let's put these on pause for a second. Oh, there we go. One more. JS, Nick Mullins, Jaren Hall, or Jaren Hall, Easton Stick. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. Nick Mullins might get benched. We don't know. Like, that makes no sense. Easton Stick, Trevor Siemian, need two for my QB and a super flex. I mean, obviously, it's Nick Mullins if he plays. Oh, yeah.
I'll go Easton Stick. I don't know. I mean,
kind of like Stick.
Siemian got the ball to Hall and to Wilson last week, finally. But at the same time, you're going up against that Cleveland defense on a short week. That really makes me nervous.
Yeah, I would lean Mullins and Stick there.
Yeah, if Mullins doesn't play, though, I mean, Jaren Hall showed literally nothing when he was in earlier this year, so I don't want anything to do with him. So I guess it would be Stick and Siemian and... Man, best of luck. that's rough, man. All right, let's jump into these questions. And so, Jeff, what we do here is we go position by position. Mike, our producer, voice in the sky, will ask the question, and we start with you, and we go clockwise around the video screen or whatever. I would say the room, but it's not a room. And yeah, we just answer the question that he proposes to us. So, Mike, you've got the floor, man.
All right. Thank you for that introduction, Joe. And since you are a special guest, Jeff, as he said, you get to go first and you get to start us off with Patrick Mahomes against the Bengals or Brock Purdy against the Commanders in a rebound game.
Yeah, two plus matchups here, but I have Purdy over Patrick Mahomes, and it feels weird to say it, and it's just kind of one of those things you have to go with what you're seeing. Washington, I don't know if they could be a better matchup given the spot that San Francisco is in. Cincinnati's a great matchup for Mahomes too, but it's you know, I sat there on Christmas Day, and you see the kickoff, and you see Patrick Mahomes out there, and you wait for what your brain is telling you should happen, and then it never happens. And so I think that Purdy is in a great rebound spot, and I do think that in your championship weeks, Purdy has a higher ceiling than what we've seen out of Mahomes this year.
Yeah, I've got these guys back to back right now, so I mean, you know, pick your poison here. My gut tells me to go with Purdy. This Washington Commanders defense is bad, and I think the Niners are going to come out, you know, looking for blood, man. They want to prove everybody wrong, you know, and be like, no, we belong.
Yeah. This one, I would say I'm also going with Purdy. He definitely needs to rebound. Now there was, you know, talk about him suffering that stinger or re-injuring a stinger that he, you know, dealt with a couple weeks ago. I don't know if that really has much to do with everything, but keep an eye on that. You know, since he has given up two touchdowns and 300 plus yards in three of their last four, well, just under 300 against Pittsburgh last week. But again, that was Mason Rudolph. So we'll say that's a, you know, an average of 300 just for the handicap there. So they can be thrown on. Kansas City's offense just looks like they're in trouble right now. And, you know, I think it's going to take Mahomes having a really good game to right that ship, but it's not just him, you know, it's everybody. So I'm leaning Purdy as well.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal.
Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons. This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, well, that's not fun when you sweep me. But we move on. All right, this one will be tougher, I hope. Joe, you got Baker Mayfield against the Saints or Tua Tagovailoa. Oh man, I butchered it. Tua Tagovailoa at the Ravens.
I'm going with Baker. Tua hasn't looked great. He'll be most likely losing Waddle, and I know Tyreek Hill is, you know, the engine that turns that offense a little bit more than Waddle does. But you know, Achan's doesn't look like he's fully healthy either. Hill doesn't look like he's fully healthy after that ankle that he suffered a couple weeks ago. The offense is sort of just, I don't know, they're kind of a neutral. Like they're still doing all right, but Tua's not really doing what we're seeing earlier on this year. Baltimore, is probably the worst, if not one of the worst, matchups out there. The Saints, where are they on this list, man? They're not a great matchup either. But man, Baker's on fire right now. I'm gonna just stick with what's working and stay away from that Baltimore defense too, that just pretty much embarrassed the 49ers a couple nights ago. So
yeah, I mean, looking at Tua, he's had only two touchdowns in a game once in his last five, and that was against Washington. So you're not getting any kind of upside from him with rushing. He's also dealing with a thumb and quad issue. We've already talked about the other injuries on this squad. I am not pitting him against Baltimore this week in Baltimore. Maybe it's a hangover game for the Ravens. I don't think so. This is for the number one seed. You know, they are going to come out fighting in this game, the Ravens, that is. So I'm leaning Mayfield. He's been really good lately. And, the Rams just put on a clinic with Stafford and Puka last week against New Orleans. So, yeah, I think this is a pretty easy call for me.
Yeah, it's an easy sweep for me. I think Baker Mayfield, if Jacksonville could have pushed them at all last week, I think Baker Mayfield could have gone for 400 yards and four touchdowns the way that he was playing early in that game. Kyle Hamilton is on the injury list, I think, and so kind of wait and see on that one, but that's not going to affect the decision, I don't think. You feel a little bit better against the Ravens defense if he does miss. Jalen Waddle, I believe, will be out for the rest of the regular season. You mentioned that Tyreek Hill is dinged up as well. And so I think it's just pretty easily moving with Mayfield.
Yeah. I mean, I knew Baker was playing well. I actually didn't know how well. He's the number two scoring fantasy quarterback in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. I did not realize it was that good.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco number four. Yeah.
I'm in a big pool where you pick a guy once, so you can play everybody once. And I played Baker last week. I'm in first place, luckily. There's 100 plus people in there, which is pretty cool. But I played Mayfield last week, and like his start, I'm like, all right, let's go. We're gonna have a 40 point week out of Mayfield, and then Jacksonville just had nothing to be able to push him at all.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah. All right. Sorry, Mike. I know we got the sweep.
0-2. I got six more chances though. I haven't been swept on all of them yet.
Yeah, I think we got a couple more questions if we want to roll through these real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
So we got Dion here with the defense question. I'm going to throw that one up.
There you go.
So Buffalo or Cleveland? I'm going Cleveland against the Jets. And Cleveland's the better D. And then Cleveland or Philly? Give me Cleveland again. It's a clean sweep for Cleveland for me. You guys agree?
I agree.
I'm good with that. Yeah.
It's your lucky night, Joe. You got a kicker question.
Oh boy. Sanders, Daniel Carlson, Myers, McLaughlin. Look. I do my kicker rankings.
I like McLaughlin. It'd be like a 1A, 1B with him and maybe Carlson for me.
I mean, I've got Sanders ranked higher right now for whatever reason. Seems, yeah, sure.
Ravens.
McLaughlin, yeah. And maybe they'll just, you know, they'll be good enough to move the ball in the field goal range.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. I hope for not that horrible weather in Baltimore.
Smarter people than me, go check out like Denny Carter or somebody like that. Because
I know when I mean I'm kickers, okay.
I just pick the highest projected on my site, and I'll go ahead and go with it.
I know. I mean, I do okay with kicker rankings, but I'll be honest. Yeah, there's probably better people to ask for kickers than me. But I'll go Sanders and McLaughlin for me.
Lindellians is all over the kicker game.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Pick two, Aaron Jones, Saquon Barkley, Connor, Derrick Henry, Achan.
Barkley and Henry. Simple name value pick.
Philly's Barkley still good against the run. And
Ravens are going to be good against the run. So
honestly,
Minnesota's good against the run.
Go Jones.
In my ranks, I have Jones and Barkley above. You know, Henry got shut down against the Texans 2 weeks ago. Texans,
yeah,
I think,
true.
Their defense is low key good when it comes to stuff like that. And Connor, you hate the matchup against Philly, and then Chan again going up against Baltimore and whatever they're doing with that backfield rotation. So I would go with Aaron Jones. I think that Minnesota game could shoot out, and Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
All right, and then. Last one here that we got from Finn.
Hey guys, Garrett Wilson, Thursday night game, or hold off for Addison or KJ Osborne. So obviously Addison's got that injury. So the backup would be KJ Osborne. We also don't know about the quarterback situation. I think with all of those factors in play, and I don't love the matchup, I think I just go with Garrett Wilson and say, cut my losses.
It's one of those that in your championship week, if Garrett Wilson goes for a 25-point game against Cleveland and you play KJ Osborne and he has 7 points, you are going to be hating yourself for the next 9 months. So yeah. That's kind of where some of the tiebreaker on it.
Yeah. KJ Osborne, like, yeah, even if he's the number two, doesn't do it for me. Especially since they might not even. And they might throw out Hall as quarterback, so no thanks. All right, let's jump through the next questions here.
Yes, sir. AJ, you get running backs first. You want James Cook against the Patriots or DeAndre Swift against the Cardinals?
DeAndre Swift against the Cardinals. I mean, that's a given for my fandom. I mean, Cook's been awesome, but I'm going with a bit of a homer pick here. I
knew I'd get it with the homer pick.
I think Philly. Well, Swift has been looking really good the last couple weeks too. They've finally been getting him touches. I don't know if it's because people have been standing outside of the NovaCare complex with signs saying "run the freaking ball," or if it's just because they realized, you know, they need to actually get the run game going to open up this passing game a little bit. And, you know, give Jalen a break from having to just take three steps or one step out of shotgun and either take off running or just throw to AJ Brown automatically. So, you know, the offense did look better this past week. And a big part of that was Swift. So I think the upside is there for him. I mean, Cook has obviously had the better breakouts the past few weeks, but New England can be stingy, I feel like, and you know, it's not a given.
So you leaned into your fandom. I'm going to lean into my fandom. I'm going to go with James Cook, just slightly above DeAndre Swift. I think, you know, his rush game usage was still there last week. They ran the ball on first down on like an insane percentage last week against the Chargers. The only thing that disappeared was his pass game usage a little bit, but I do expect that to bounce back. I think that that's the way that you attack New England, but probably out of the running back position is through the air. And so we haven't seen that very much at all with Swift. So any level of PPR format, I do defer to James Cook. I think he's got better through the air, and we know that neither of those backs are going to be great shots to get the goal line touches, but I feel a little bit better for Cook to get that goal line touch than DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, if it's on like the 5, they might be able to give it to Swift, but anything Cook closer too than that, it's push all day, which I'm kind of getting bored with.
They're scoring points. I don't care. That's because you don't have Jalen Hurts on your fantasy teams, isn't it?
I do, and some of them.
Yeah, I'm with James Cook for a lot of the reasons you said, Jeff. So probably just cut that one short and move on.
I like it. No more sweeps. All right. Jeff, do you want Aaron Jones in that shootout potential game against the Vikings, or you know, the opposite side of the field, Ty Chandler against the Packers, which we know is a soft run defense?
I like the matchup better for Chandler, but I'm still going to rank Aaron Jones higher. Aaron Jones had 130-ish yards, rushing yards last week. He kind of looked like himself a little bit. I know he's got a designation on for the injury, but I think he'll be okay. Ty Chandler, they moved so far away from the run game last week, which was concerning the way that they just totally abandoned that. And, you know, I don't know, with Alexander Mattison, Tyler Chandler is so much better than Alexander Mattison that they shouldn't be having that conversation, but they still have that conversation. And that concerns you stepping into there. Whereas Aaron Jones is not going to get benched for AJ Dillon.
No. Joe?
Yeah, I'm with Aaron Jones too. You know, I think 2 weeks ago, Aaron Jones came back off injury and looked pretty rough. Didn't quite look the same. Didn't even have AJ Dillon there, and so you kind of thought that was a smash spot for him. It just didn't end up being that. Last week, he looked like Aaron Jones again. So I'm way more confident in Aaron Jones this week. You know, I agree with everything you said, Jeff. Ty Chandler is the guy that they should be leaning on, but they just don't want to for whatever reason. You know, he luckily got an early touchdown to kind of salvage a day for fantasy managers who stuck with him last week, despite Alexander Mattison being active. You know, the only thing I'll say about it is, maybe, you know, I would say like, this could be a bit of a high-scoring game, but there's something about this divisional matchup that just has me going, this might be one of those ugly, like, 17-22 games, right? To where, like, there's just not a lot there. So maybe, you know, maybe Chandler gets in the end zone. You would think Jones would, but other than that, like, I kind of don't – neither one of them are super high in my rankings, but it is Jones.
Yeah, I will take the sweep with Jones on this. I mean, looking at what Mattison did in week 8 against Green Bay, nice 16 touches, but turned it into a solid 31 yards for 1.9 average. Only had one reception. Last week, he was coming off the injury, 2 carries for -1 yards. So maybe they are finally deciding they're going to lose some faith in him. He's questionable again, had a limited practice today. I think Chandler is the far and away better option of those two right now. But yeah, I would take Jones either way.
Oh, you guys are no fun.
Sorry, Mike.
It's all right. The difficulty increases with the wide receivers. Just so you know, Jeff, in this one, you get to start 2 and sit one on their ass on the bench.
All right.
So, Joe, you want Puka Nacua against the Giants, DJ Moore against the Falcons, or Stephon Diggs against the Patriots?
So I am going to pick And it's tough, man, because Diggs has not really done much lately. But I'm going to stick with him, and I'm going to go back to Puka. Like, it's really hard to go away from Puka. DJ Moore, man, like, it's really hard to rely on this passing game in Chicago right now. It's kind of a mess. DJ Moore's had an overall good season, but it's really like four or five games. Other than that, man, it's been bad. And I know it's, you know, Fields hasn't been there for all of them, but I mean, last week was like, you thought was a really good spot for DJ Moore, and he just did nothing. So I'm going to shy away from that. And, you know, we're talking about kind of like sneaky, decent, good defenses. The Falcons can surprise teams. You know, that secondary is a lot better than people think, you know, second best against wide receivers. So I'm going to bench DJ Moore out of those three.
Yeah, I'm doing the same. I mean, Moore's probably looking at lining up against AJ Terrell. I don't like that matchup for him. I mean, I love DJ Moore. He's explosive at times and has shown it. But I just think that, like Joe said, this is a very underrated secondary in Atlanta. And Diggs had a decent game against New England earlier in the year, you know, found the end zone. So I can see him finding the end zone again this week in a game. You know, Buffalo is just cruising right now, and, you know, they're looking to potentially try to win that division, which I believe is still in reach. They're only one back from Miami. And if Miami loses this week against Baltimore, then it's very interesting final game with the two of those facing off. What's that?
Buffalo and Dolphins are two games back.
They need Miami to lose to
Baltimore,
and they need to win. So if that happens, they would win. Miami once this year. So they'd play each other head to head week 18, and Buffalo would have the sweep head to head. That's how they make up two games.
Yeah. So I'm going with Diggs and Puka.
I'm gonna make it a sweep. Absent any other matchup, you know, you talk about the Falcons being good against the wide receivers, and they are. And any other matchup, I think I would have DJ Moore over Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Very concerned about Diggs, but I just think it's a horrible matchup for Atlanta and Chicago. I expect that to be just a brutal, brutal. It'll be fun to, if you like physical football and kind of low scoring games, that'll be a fun game, but I don't expect that game to shoot out in any regards. And Diggs, I mean, at some point you would think they'd have to get Diggs going a little bit going into the playoffs, but who knows? I don't know.
I said
they'll just rely on
too.
Their like one every four games from Gabe Davis and be happy with it.
Josh Allen just bowling people over and hurdling people. Third and eight, we're going to hurdle somebody 8 yards short of the line.
It's a fun offense to watch, though.
Yeah.
All right. Out of the next here, AJ. And you get Amari Cooper coming off that red hot week against the Jets. Nico Collins against the Titans. Or Garrett Wilson against the Browns.
I mean, we kind of already touched on Wilson a little bit. It's not a great matchup for him. You know, he's been solid this year, but this could be the week to bench him. You know, Collins is yet again questionable heading into the week. Only went 4 for 18 last week against Cleveland. His week was really saved by finding the end zone. And getting 4 catches on 6 targets. I think, you know, he didn't get to play in the Tennessee game 2 weeks ago because of injury. So I think he's going to be, you know, a valuable asset that they're going to be looking for. And Amari Cooper, I'm not benching him right now. Although he is also questionable.
Saw that
coming into this week due to a heel issue. Looks like, he was a non-participant in practice during the week, blah, 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 because he complained about it. So I guess that was going into last week, it looked like. But yeah, 11 for 265, two touchdowns. Got me 53 points in my ESPN league. So I am rolling with him in the championship game that I'm in, thanks to him.
There's a better chance than not that if you're in your championship game and you have Amari Cooper, it's because of Amari Cooper. I don't think you're going to sit him next week. You just can't. Yeah. I mean, that's bad karma to sit the guy that got you there. And then Tennessee is just so much better matchup than Cleveland is. And so, and CJ Stroud is going to be, should hopefully be back. Hopefully he doesn't miss three games because of concussion. Yeah. So he's missed the last two games, missed that first game against the Titans. Titans have just been horrid against the pass. And so I think that Collins gives you a lot higher upside than Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson might have more predictable volume, but what is that going to mean against a difficult Browns defense?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Garrett Wilson's my sit out of these three.
Yeah.
Stroud comes back. Yeah, I guess if Stroud doesn't play, it does make Collins and Wilson decision a little tougher because the offense is bad, you know, without Stroud there in Houston. I still think I lean Nico, and just Garrett Wilson's just not, like, you can tell he's frustrated on the sidelines. He keeps going over to Aaron Rodgers and like barking in his ear. He's just like, please come back. Yeah. It's not happening, man. Next year.
I'm glad you touched on that, though, because, I mean, when I wrote these questions, it was before the update CJ Stroud had practiced today, which is definitely positive news for Nico Collins. But if he didn't play, you know, getting Case Keenum, you know, does that factor into your decision at all? So I'm glad you touched on that.
Yep, definitely does.
All right. So, Jeff, you get to finish off the wide receivers here. Another hot receiver coming off last week. George Pickens against the Seahawks. Drake London against the Bears. Or Adam Thielen against the Jaguars?
I know you don't know this. This is twisting the knife on me, man, because I had a one-point loss in the semis that I played Drake London in, and I had a one-point loss in the semis that I sat George Pickens in two different leagues.
My apologies.
Drake London are just brutal for me, but no, it's you didn't know that, and so it's a lot of fun to be here at this point. I think my bitterness overflows at Arthur Smith and Drake London at this point, that to the where I'm just going to sit them. You know, Thielen, I think, is a little bit more of a predictable outcome, predictable volume. And Drake London had that explosion 3 weeks ago and it, you know, suck everybody back in. But I mean, Pickens, from what he showed last week, it seems like Pickens has a higher ceiling going up against Seattle. And we just talked about a couple of questions ago, the Chicago Atlanta game kind of being a game that, you know, makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I'm sitting Drake London too. I just kind of want nothing to do with this Atlanta offense. It's super hard to rely on anybody. You know, I was kind of hoping last week, like, you know, now that Arthur Smith's on the hot seat, he's going to start using his guys. No, it is what it is, man. Pickens is going to probably revert back to being George Pickens. Let's be real. Don't expect 195 yards and two tutties again. You know, it's just not going to happen. You know, 280 yard plays or whatever it was. It's just no. Adam Thielen is the clear safest of these. He gets just boring volume. Probably not going to score anymore because that offense just isn't working. But he at least sees, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 targets a game. We'll catch 5 or 6 of them for 60, 70 yards. Maybe he falls in the end zone. He's the safest one. George Pickens got the highest ceiling. Drake London sort of just no thanks.
Oof. Yeah, I look at, you know, Thielen and just based on his consistency throughout early in the season, I guess I will give him the nod. He's kind of been up and down towards the end here, but you know, Jacksonville has been friendly to opposing receivers as well. And especially if T-Law doesn't play in that game, I feel like Carolina actually has a chance to stay in the game. Maybe pull out win number 3, who knows? London, on the other hand, you know, you're looking at from the bye, after the bye, week 12, you know, came out of the bye strong with a 5 for 91 performance, but then followed it up against a strong Jets defense with one catch for 8 yards. And then he broke out 10 for 172. So that came out of nowhere, you know, it seems like. And since then, he's only had half as many catches. So I'm off of London as well. I'll ride with Thielen and Pickens.
All right. Tight end. To close it out.
I accidentally lied to AJ in the private chat. We do have a question. Malcolm asks, flex one, you got Nico, D-Hop, T. Higgins, Derrick Henry, Achan, Connor, Keenan Allen, if he plays.
Oh. Somebody else want to answer this one first?
Nico, D-Hop,
if you want to play it, I'm going to go T. Higgins, I think, out of this group. What we kind of saw last week, he had kind of saved his day with a big touchdown, but he did have 8 targets. And so I do expect that. I mean, Jamar Chase might be back, which might change my answer on that. But right now, that's where I would go.
Yeah, Higgins kind of, you know, made me eat some crow because I was the only person that didn't pick him in the receiver question last week with Chase being out. And it was looking good for a while. I was like, yeah, all right. I think I got, never mind. So
yeah,
then that changed quickly. Yeah, I do think he has the best upside here though.
Yeah, I'd probably go Higgins. Although if Allen plays, that's tough, man. You know, Allen is going to see just an enormous amount of targets
with Easton Stick though. Do we,
I mean, hey, Gerald Everett has been seeing, you know, a ton of volume. So I would think Keenan Allen can see, you know, he may not get his 15 like he was every week, but I think, you know, 8, 9, 10 could easily be in the realm of possibilities for him. You know, you just I think the touchdown upside for Allen gets knocked way down with Stick, which is why I lean Higgins.
Yeah.
Just slightly still.
So, all right. Now we can go on to the tight ends.
I think Deion had one too. Evans, Ayuk, or Rice.
Yeah.
It's yeah. It was a while ago. I forgot.
Yeah,
I missed that one. It's Evans.
I lean, Evans. I would go that order. So cool. To like.
Ayuk, man, Ayuk's got the super good matchup though, man. You know, like that's tough. Those two are close, man. They're all close, but I do lean Evans. It's hard to go away from Evans, man. He's been so good.
Is Marcus Lattimore out? I think he is. If he's not, that's always the bugaboo on Mike Evans, it seems like. It just I know that there, I mean, you get a fist fight, literally thrown out of the game 5 minutes.
I mean, he got him earlier in the year, right?
Lattimore. I think he is out. Yeah, he's on IR.
Oh, then there you go.
I do. Even better. Ayuk is the top choice here. Just that matchup. I like that.
Yeah, I'm in a.
It's tough. They're very close for me. All three of these guys are right there, man. That's a tough decision. That's one of those. Mike, why didn't you think of that question?
Yeah.
I didn't think Ayuk and Evans were that close.
What the hell, bro?
That wouldn't have been a sweep, it sounds like.
Yeah. I'm literally looking at my lone championship and then my two or three different third place matchups. Like, crap, what are my questions here? Like, who am I trying to pick here to get?
You can ask
the highest possible outcome.
Enough on here. Let's get to the tight end question and close this out.
All right. Joe, Tucker Kraft against the Vikings. You don't have a choice. Tucker Kraft.
I don't want any.
Just be happy there's no Taysom Hill in this. Tucker Kraft against the Vikings or Darren Waller against the Rams?
Hmm.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kyle Pitts. No, Darren Waller. I don't know, man. I'll go Darren Waller. You just gotta hope for volume there. It's not, neither one of those guys are doing anything, you know. I do like Tyrod as a, you know, not a streamable quarterback play. Excuse me. But I think, you know, he has proven that he can, you know, he protects the ball, he can move it downfield. You know, Waller's one more week healthier. Hopefully he kind of gets things rolling a little bit. Neither one of those guys are super exciting plays. Good luck if you got to choose between them.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Waller on this. Just looking at the Rams against the tight end, the matchup is really nice. You know, three of the last 4 weeks, you know, they've got given up a touchdown to the tight end position. They've given up 19 total receptions for quite a decent amount of yardage. I can't do that quick math in my head. The outlier there is really the week 15 game against Washington. Shocker. Yeah. Where the Rams, you know, were actually tight against the tight end, only gave up one reception for 7 yards. So I think that's more of a Washington problem, not a Cleveland, Baltimore, yes, New Orleans problem. And the week before that, week 12, you know, they gave up 8 for 86. I'm guessing most of that was probably all Trey McBride. So tight ends can be valuable against the Rams. I'm going with Waller.
I believe I saw a note today that Luke Musgrave is back at practice, and if Musgrave is active, that just eliminates Tucker Kraft entirely. By default, leaning that direction, because I know that I think he was practicing last week too, and so I know that his window's been open for a little bit to come off IR. So I would lean Darren Waller.
All right. Yeah, neither tight end. Ferguson all day. Yes.
I think
not an option.
Evan Ingram. Just
at least I can always fall back on knowing that I'll get AJ with a homer question. I just got to throw an Eagles player in there.
There you go.
I mean, that was tough for me though. That was a close one. I almost just totally didn't hear you say James Cook. I was just like, blah, 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 blah. Or DeAndre Swift. Was like, what? Oh, clearly. I mean, the answer is Swift.
Do have one here. Hayden, Javonte, or Brian Robinson if he plays. Ooh, that's actually a pretty interesting one.
Javonte for me.
I think Brian, I'm leaning Javonte, and just you gotta hope that, you know, you gotta think they're just gonna lean on the run game to keep him in it.
I think P. Ryan could even have some sneaky like middle value this week, just as a dump play for Stidham, because he's not gonna know what the hell to do. All right. Yep.
I think that's it. All right. Jeff, I want to thank you for coming on and joining us. It was a great conversation. I hope everybody can use your advice to help them win. And but before you go, man, let everybody know where they can find you and what, you know, I know the season's over, but, you know, what you got going on, you know, maybe this off season.
Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at For Whom J Bell Tolls. Thank you so much for having me on, guys. First and foremost, I really appreciate you both, and I really appreciate this opportunity. I always love these conversations because it gets me thinking about my ranks, moving some guys around and digging in deeper. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at For Whom J Bell Tolls. You find me with football guys, and really moving through the offseason, our first big deliverable that we're going to have is going to be the Football Guys Rookie Guide. We did it, debuted it last year. We're going to follow up bigger, better, longer, or whatever it might be. And so that will be a free download. And usually what you have to do is you have to sign up for the Football Guys newsletter, and you'll be able to get a free copy of that rookie guide when we do release it. And then, and you know, last year we got up to like 150 pages on it. So it is definitely a worthwhile free publication on that. But then throughout the offseason, doing Dynasty content at Football Guys, I'm the Dynasty captain over there. So kind of cranking through the rookie content, cranking through the offseason content. And then once the season starts, I do the DFS show over there. I do the Dynasty show, and you can pick up that weekly. The other thing with the Dynasty show, that'll be a weekly deliverable, and you'll be getting the entire rookie class really from now until the NFL draft. We'll drop weekly rookie episodes on that too, NFL draft episodes on that. So make sure to check that out through the offseason. And thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, man. Awesome, thank you. Awesome, and
catching up and talking.
Yeah, good. Yeah, exactly. Good talking. And then I'll say anything to you before then. Happy New Year, and good luck in any of your matchups this week.
Yeah, man. Get those chips. Happy New Year.
All right. Have a good one, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
You too.
All right, AJ. So everybody who's still around, this is going to be our last show of the fantasy football season. We're going to take off next week. Look, let's just be real. There's not a lot of you playing. And as we kind of said earlier on, I'm kind of burnt out.
Are you burnt out enough to answer one more question from Jamie?
Oh, I guess. Jamie, I suppose, man. would you start Shahid or chasing the Pickens twice from last week?
Both. Flex one.
I think I'm going with Pickens.
I think I would go Pickens. Shahid's been inconsistent over the past.
Shahid gets like, he's got to get a deep bomb, like, and it's just that's hard to rely on. I know Pickens hasn't been great, but hey, one game with Mason Rudolph, and he was the guy. So maybe that's going to continue. That's all I got to hope for with those two. I'd rather go with something that's at least one for one.
Yeah.
Looks like we got another one from Dion. Goddard or Ferguson? Going Ferguson. No. Sorry, AJ.
Terrible.
Goddard's not been good.
Goddard would have been even better if it wasn't for that slip and interception pick six that he caused. So,
well, he caused it. So there you go.
That's the funny thing. But just quick sidebar. So my buddies from home and I were on a text.
Had to ask an Eagles question, huh, Dion?
Yeah. Thank you, Dion. thank you for the platform. It is our last show. I might as well ramble on for another 20 minutes. They're like, oh, that's on Goddard. That's on Goddard. I'm like, yeah, it is. But in the stat sheet, it's still an interception on Hurts. So is it on Goddard? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is. All right. Yes, I did. We'll be back in late January, early February. We will be switching to baseball, though. So we do cover baseball on this show as well, probably through mid-June? Early July, whatever it ends up being. I will be sprinkling in some football content. I know we're gonna have JJ Schultz doing our Dynasty podcast through the off season, so I might jump on there with him. We're gonna have a whole bunch of our own rookie content as well, so we're gonna be doing some stuff there. But I did talk with Dap Scout today, and he's gonna be back with us this season for baseball. So I'm totally stoked to have him back on the show, because God knows I can't talk to this guy about baseball. I need Dap to save me.
Or me.
And Dap needs me to make things funny because he can't just sit and listen to you droll on for an hour.
Sure. Just don't cover the Royals. Yeah, we could probably make that happen. But anyway. So yeah, so we'll so I'll be around. Obviously, you know, we'll be doing mock drafts and things like that, rookie content as well. I'll be jumping in with some of that stuff. But I usually try to leave that, you know, that rookie stuff to the Dynasty guys who pay a lot more attention to that than I do. So but anyway, I've had a great year, guys. I've had fun, even though I am a little burnt out. Yeah, Jamie, that's awesome, man. Helping you win 7 championships. I wish I had your luck this year. I got bounced to all my semis outside of one. So, yeah. Just a last thing I want to say. I was already starting to say it, but I'll continue. Thank you, everybody who tuned into this show this season. I've had a blast, you know, this year, whether it be baseball or football. And you know, we appreciate you guys for tuning in each and every week, hitting that subscribe button, hit those like buttons, leaving those comments, talking to us on here. As well as like the Sunday show that we do and anything else that we've jumped on here and done. It's been awesome. And of course the members over Fantasy Six Pack and everybody in the Discord, you know, talking to us on there. It's been awesome. Like, it's the first year we've done all of that. So I'm looking for bigger and better things next year for the site and for our YouTube channel. So.
Yeah. I just want to echo Joe's sentiments there too. You know, we've had an awesome time this year. I mean, I've had a great time getting to know people more just through answering comments. You know, all the guys that are out there tonight, Jamie, obviously every week you're on here, man. We truly appreciate you jumping in and jumping on silly string picks with us. Dion's on here all the time. We got JS, we got Malcolm tonight. You know, you guys are why we do this. You know, we
Albert's around all the time too. So
yeah, Bob Dole, Mr. Scampers. You know, you guys are why we do this.
Been around in a while. Where's he been at?
And you know, it's been fun. You make it worthwhile, and you know, we love the questions. You know, it helps us with our content. It helps us with how we want to, you know, try to gear the shows around, because this is what we're trying to do with this one. And, you know, we kind of switched things up this year to do the start sit. And I think it turned out really well. You know, we got a lot of positive feedback. So keep it coming. Jump on Discord, get a subscription, come check us out. Keith. And yeah,
one last one. Keith.
The ticker there at the bottom.
That's for the Eagles and Giants on Christmas. hopefully again in New York, but we'll see. That one might be a little more dicey if you know, Tommy Two-Tone and his weird ass agent aren't on the sidelines.
I don't think that's actually happening. Yeah, I think New York's gonna figure something else out.
Probably. But either way, I'll end it there. You know, thanks again. Check us out on the site, check us out on Discord. We're there.
On Twitter,
you know, Twitter. Either or, you know, whatever you guys have. And you know, it's cool. It's cool, Jamie. So do I. So we'll save
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think
we'll save it for next year.
We gave up on it a little bit.
Here's a big briefcase of IOUs.
We had the sick week for both of us, and then all of a sudden I was like, you know what, I just don't really feel like doing it anymore.
Yeah. Maybe that's why
silly string was fun, but we'll come up with something else next year. It'll be a little more fun.
So
Again, thank you guys, and good luck in week 17 in your championships. Hope you take them all down. Have a good one.
All right. See you. Happy New Year.